Awesome.
Oh, we're started? Okay. This week's Parsha is Parshas.
Shemos.
Rashi Tevos, Shnai Mikra, Yechatayim. Quick plug, everybody should be doing Shnai Mikra, Yechatayim.
This is the first year I finished all of Rishas.
And this year is an honor. Of at least finishing Sefer
Bereishis.
There's an Indian. People, hold on. People don't appreciate the fact that when you finish them, Torah's also learning Torah. Maybe there's a Mandi Amar in the Gemara in Brachos that you only have to make a Birchas HaTorah when you're actually reading from the Torah.
Oh.
You see that there's a special value to the actual reading the words of the Torah itself, and sometimes we don't appreciate that. Okay, guys, let's focus. Yeah. This time, I want to discuss mitzvah number 500. Ooh. Nice round number. Mitzvah tough, kuf, tak. And the mitzvah is a mitzvah that, I'll be honest, I was definitely surprised here. Anyway, there's a mitzvah, a lo saseh in the Torah, an avera shelo lishkon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'olam. It's against the Torah to live in Egypt. And that is the mitzvah I want to discuss today. The Isser of living in Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay. The Seder. So the first thing I want to discuss is, first of all, the Sefer HaChinuch brings, the main pasuk is in Sefer Dvarim. It says, V'Hashem amar lachem, lo tosifun lashuv v'derech hazeod. And that's referring to the same way that you went out, you shouldn't come back to Eretz Mitzrayim. And the truth is that
that's
it's repeated three times.
How do we know from Borsham?
We'll see. There's a few psukim, and the way the Sefer HaChinuch says, he says that, I mean, he quotes a Yerushalmi that says that there's three psukim, and there's three times that the Jews returned to Egypt, and three times that the Jews who returned to Egypt were severely punished. I'm not going to go through the three times, but history is very true, and three times they went back, three times they were severely punished. So I want to discuss at first, what is the shorish of the mitzvah? What is the rationale? What is the source? Not necessarily the source, but what's the essence of this mitzvah of not living in Egypt?
It's so it's more of mahos than a shorish.
I'll call it a shorish this week.
Is it alcohol or shorish?
What?
The same thing it says in shorish mitzvah.
Correct. So I'll quote his. So the first shoresh of the mitzvah, the first explanation of why it's us to live in Egypt, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes it. The Rambam also, mitzvah lo saseh, Memvav, Rabbeinu Bechai as well, in the pasuk over there says that Egyptians are notorious for their immoral behavior. Egyptians are known as the most, just the most depraved nation when it comes to morality, when it comes to ethics. They were always known to be a nation of extremely disgusting nation, and therefore the Jewish people aren't supposed to move to the land of Egypt lest we become influenced by the disgusting behavior and the lowliness of the Egyptian people.
All destroyed after
we'll get to that. Fine. That's number one, that we might be influenced by their negative behavior. Second reason I want to say is in the name of the Yerayim. The Yerayim says that returning to Egypt would almost be a slap in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How important is it to us, the Jewish people, to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt is maybe one of the greatest miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us. It also might be what identifies us as the Jewish people. We became a nation after we left the land of Egypt. So now to go back and settle in the land of Egypt is an affront to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like spitting in his face.
Mara Toledo says that it's because we forgot him, you know, especially.
Yeah. I didn't get there yet. I didn't do it yet.
It's Machol Kisach Chomer, who was going to say,
We'll get there. So, the third reason is quoted in the Sefer Likutim and also in the Likutei Sichos as well. I heard it from Rav Razna, and it's something that makes a lot of sense. There's a famous Maimer of the Arizal. The Arizal says that what's the reason that the Jewish people are scattered throughout Galus, living in Chutz Laaretz? He says, on a deep level, that in Kabbalah, that there's nitzotzos, that there's this special nitzotzot, and the tafkid of the Jewish people in Galus and in Chutz Laaretz is to be ma'ale those nitzotzos. And the Gemara Brachos of Daf Ches says that after the Jewish people left Egypt, it was like mitzula belo dagim. Right? It was like a swamp without any fish. Another thing of the Gemara was, it was like a trap without any grain. But the Gemara says that when the Jewish people left, we left Berechosh Gadol, and we totally emptied Egypt out of everything. Now Arizal explains that when we left Egypt, we emptied it so much so that we even emptied it out of all the Nitzotzos. So therefore, even though you're allowed to live in other places in Chutz La'aretz, just to be Malah the Nitzotzos, to take out the Kodesh from the hole that we have there, but in Mitzrayim, it's all already gone, and therefore there's no reason to live in Egypt, and that's why it's Usser to live there. Fine. So those are the three reasons. Either that we're going to learn from the immoral behavior, or it's like the slap in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nitzotzos, it's like spiritual sparks. Like, it's some like type of power that, it's hard to explain. How would you explain Nitzotzos?
Like, the literal term means spark.
It means sparks, but it's like the Kedusha, but it's Kedusha that's very deep, deep, deep within something.
It's like what motivates. It's like the, you say Nitzotzos be like the pentel in you?
Yeah, it's something very deep, deep, deep inside, and it's usually hidden by a lot of klipos. So it's found in places that are very, very dirty, but if you go deep, deep inside, you're supposed to draw out the holiness from within that dirt and from within that tumah.
And it's a great organization.
Yes. Ayin, if you want to know more about Nitzotzos, you should speak to a bird from Avaser. He's very holding this. So, fine. The major question that we should all be asking is that there are many Jews, many great Rambam. Jews, that lived in Egypt. The Rambam himself, who counts this as a mitzvah, lived in Egypt. So how did that happen? Fine, so I'm going to go through a few different reasons. Explanations how we had great Rabbanim live in Eretz Yisrael, if we know that there's an Isser Midoraisa, that you're not allowed to live in Egypt ever again. So before I discuss why they would be allowed to, I want to discuss a couple of examples where we for sure knew that there were big Jews that were living in Egypt. First is the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph. Right after talks about that somebody who's never seen the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis never saw Simcha in his life. So it also says that somebody who never saw the great synagogue in Alexandria never saw, I don't know, Tiferes in his life. So the Gemara continues over there, and it says there was a great synagogue in Alexandria, and it goes on to describe the immense size of the synagogue and the beauty of the synagogue. It says that it was able to house 1.2 million people. I think that's as Rosenfeld spoke about in the CM yesterday, it's a guzma. I think that's an exaggeration. I don't think that it actually was able to hold 1.2 million people, but it was a very, 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 very big, grand synagogue. And the Gemara discusses there how beautiful it was. There were 71 golden chairs. Can I get the 71 Rabbanim that sat in the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim? The Seder. And it talks about that for a while. And then at the end, Abaye says, and by the way, this entire community in Alexandria and Egypt was totally wiped out. And why was it wiped out? Because they were over on the Avera of returning to Egypt. But in Perek of the Sefer Kaftor Voferach, which is quoted often, the Kaftor Voferach was written by Rav Shtori HaParchi, who made his way to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a lot about different mitzvos that related to Eretz Yisrael. And he said that the Rambam, when he used to send letters to people, would sign his letters, let's say Rav Moshe ben Maimon, the person who transgresses three Averos every single day. And what he was referring to was these three psukim that said that it's also to live in Mitzrayim. So the validity of this is debated. There are many people that say if you look at a lot of the Rambam's letters, which we have, he never said that. Rav Shtori HaParchi claims he heard it from the grandson of the Rambam. I'll be honest, I kind of believe the Kaftor Voferach. I don't think that the Rambam was serious. I mean, I think the Rambam said it, but he didn't really mean it. Halach l'maaseh. He said, I'm the person that's over on three psukim in the Torah. Okay, but lav davka, it's a mitzvah midoraisa when it comes to the basis. And you'll see when we get out of the answer, the Rambam, you can see, was probably just exaggerating.
How is this going to be any different? It's a Lashuv, and then we also have a different Isser Lashuv with a reason of mana bosos that's explicitly possible. What's the difference here?
There's no extra pasuk. It's a different mitzvah.
It's a completely different mitzvah.
Different mitzvah, same pasuk.
If we're saying it's the same, it's the same thing though to return. You just have a reason why you're returning now. It's separate. So if you have a specific reason why you're returning, it's going to be a separate issue now.
Yeah.
Would you be able to both issue now if you return then?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Aspects of
So we'll get to that. First of all, who cares? Maybe it's because they're successful. They know how to live in Egypt. But there is, but the way the Mepharsh, Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt. Eretz Mitzrayim hasn't changed. Eretz Mitzrayim is Eretz Mitzrayim. But it's the same land. So we'll get to that. If you think about it, when we go to the we discussed at the beginning of the Shorash of the Mitzvah, what's the reason why it's us to live there? Is it us to live there because we might learn from their immoral behavior? Is it us to live there because the Kaddish Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, we can't go back? So there's a lot of room for what you're saying is a very, very good point. A lot of people are going to say that the truth is nowadays it's not the same. So we'll get to that. I'll get back to your answer one right now when I'm going to discuss. Okay, so now that we've seen that there has been evidence that it's a bad thing to live in Egypt, the Gemara in Sukkah, as well as the Rambam himself, may be claiming that he was being over Averos, let's discuss why Big Rabbanim did indeed live in Eretz Yisrael. So the first thing I want to say is the Rabbeinu Bechai, who says that the mitzvah of not living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah l'doros. It's only a mitzvah when the Egyptians were particularly immoral people. Once upon a time, the Egyptians were known as the most immoral people of that time. And that, specifically at that time, that's when it was usher to live there. So it's very similar to what you were saying, that nowadays, the Egyptians that lived there aren't the same Egyptians that lived there in the past, and therefore the mitzvah might have changed.
So it wasn't the Doros after 7 days?
Correct.
And the pasuk was first mentioned in Sefer Devarim?
Yeah.
It wasn't the Doros after 7 days after they left Mitzrayim.
Why 7 days after?
When they all drowned in Yamsuf. All the material.
It could be right after that they were also very immoral people.
Also, there wasn't anyone left, is the whole point.
There were still people in Egypt right after.
No, people came over.
How about the kids?
Also, how could the Rambam's
history says it was just taken over people.
Okay, but those people might have also been immoral right after. So you have to see the time in history.
Right?
The
Rambam's the
immoral.
This wouldn't work for the Rambam. Correct. According to Rabbeinu Bechai, this wouldn't be a mitzvah in the Rambam. It wouldn't be another bear.
Egypt once again became the center for immoral.
According to this Rabbeinu Bechai, it would be Asur again.
It'll come back into play.
Yeah. Fine. That was Rabbeinu Bechai.
He's saying it's not the doors come back into play.
Yes.
Not the doors come back.
Everything's everlasting.
Fine. The second answer is a very similar answer. It's the Ritva and Yuma on Daf. As well as the smog, he says that once upon a time, Sancheiriv was mebalbel es haumos, and all the nations of the world were scattered, and no nation remained in their natural homeland. So the Egyptians living in Mitzrayim nowadays, after the times of Sancheiriv, are not the same Egyptians that were living there once upon a time, and therefore the reason doesn't apply anymore, and that's why all these Rabbanim were allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, because it wasn't the same Egyptians that lived there once upon
a time. No matter how immoral it's also Russian, it's just different people, so it doesn't matter.
I have a feeling it's connected. Meaning that the reason why it matters that it's different people is because that these people aren't as bad as the original Egyptians. I think it's
he went around the world and made people move
from
their country to the country.
So, we had the ten
lost tribes
in Israel.
They went somewhere.
But we don't know it.
Fine. It's Ethiopia.
India.
All 10 of them. They're now all back in Israel.
The next answer is Meduyak in one of the psukim, but not all three, and it's the shot of the Yoreim. The Yoreim says that the Isser only applies when you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt. And that's Meduyak in the pasuk of Vashuv B'derech Hazeh, meaning you're not allowed to return the same way that you went out. So you went out from Egypt and went to Eretz Yisrael, you can't go out of Eretz Yisrael and go back.
Specifically in the route that Bnei Yisrael went from Mitzrayim or in any route. It could even work for the Rambam.
Yeah, it says I made that.
Lashav Bader Chazet.
Also, where the exact borders
go, Wadi Ayyush. You go Melchim Derech Eretz Plishtim. You go back now, you're going Derech Eretz Plishtim.
Rambam holds it safe. It's also really very strong.
That's what you guys asked.
Wow. This is a different name. Yeah.
Specifically
in Eretz Yisrael is even worse. Fine. And the last answer, which is the Ravaz, which I think is the one that makes the most sense, or maybe the most pashut, is that you only violate this lav if you move with das lishtakeyashem, to dwell there permanently. If you're going to Egypt in a temporary way, then it's not us. Ravaz really goes further, though. Hold on. The Ravaz even goes further. He says that if you go in the beginning, not al das to be there forever, and then you go there and it's comfortable for you, and you're having a good time, and you're making good money, and then you decide to stay, it's also not so bad.
So what's the issue? But if you live there and you're happy there, so it's fine.
He says it's not as bad. He's trying to be matzdik why people were able to live there. The Ravaz himself did live there. I don't did live there. Started a yeshiva over there. The Ravaz also defends the Rambam. He says that yeah, exactly.
So he's throwing himself cool. It's
fine.
Fine. He's saying that God though when Yaakov Avinu when he went by in the time of Lubosham, not Lishtakeisham.
Nachum. Fine. Just a couple last points. The Michas Chinuch has an interesting point that he brings up. He says, what's the deal if there's no mitzvah in Egypt? So again, this is very connected to what we said. And it's connected to the answers that you give. The Rambam says, supposedly, in the Michas Chinuch, I don't know where he sees this. I looked it up. I couldn't find it. Michas Chinuch claims that the Rambam says that even without mitzvah living in Egypt, it's still usher to live there. I don't know if that's so medieval in the Rambam, because the Rambam specifically says the reason why it's usher to live there is because that you're going to be influenced from the Egyptians. I don't know.
Egyptians are the essence of the land of Egypt. You can find it on the land, maybe.
I'd say no one's living in the land. No one.
If there's zero.
But the Ritva, however, and the Smag obviously say that no, if there's no Egyptians living in Egypt, then you're allowed to live there. Fine. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes another point, interesting point of the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a Jewish king was to conquer Egypt, then the Issa would totally go away. Interesting point. Fine. Just to end off.
Why not?
Just to end off with an interesting point. And it's Ha'ara. And sometimes when you find the Chiddush, it's important to say it. I think it's a nice point. It relates to that Gemara in Sukkah and Daf and Aleph, and it's discussing this big city of Alexandria. We learn an interesting halacha from that Gemara. Gemara says that it was so big that it would be hard for everybody to hear the brachos of the Shliach Tzibur. So there would be a person who would stand up there with a flag, and he'd wave the flag every time the Tzibur was supposed to answer Amen. Fine. Very nice. However, there's Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin that says that if you make an Amen Yesoma, an orphaned Amen, which means if you say Amen to a bracha that you've never heard, then you're going to make your children orphans, meaning that you're going to be killed. The Gemara says it's very, very, very bad to say Amen to a bracha that you didn't hear. So before we have a steer between these two Gemaras. The one way the Gemara in Sukkah that says that this guy used to wave the flag to motion to everybody to say Amen because they couldn't hear. The other hand, the Gemara Brachel says that it's a very, very, very bad thing if you say Amen to a bracha that you don't know. So how are they able to do it in Alexandria? Rashi and Tosfos both say, they say the same answer. They say, if you're just saying Amen to a bracha because you see other people saying Amen to a bracha, so you don't know what bracha the person made, and therefore you're just saying Amen blindly. In Alexandria, they knew where the Shliach Tzibur was up to, they just couldn't hear the words perfectly. But they knew what Amen to what they were saying. Fine, very nice, that's that. But I thought it could teach us, maybe B'derek Kurosh, a very, very important message. Oftentimes we go out through life, we say Amen to a lot of things. We hear somebody speaking, and he gives a convincing argument, he's well spoken, and you just say Amen. And you just go along with it, you don't even give it a second thought. And that's the Gemara Brachos. The Gemara Brachos says that you're not allowed to just say Amen to things because other people are doing it. I think it's a very important etzah, specifically in Yeshiva, but maybe even more in general throughout life. A lot of times you just go with the flow. You say Amen, you say, yeah. That's true. But why are you saying it's true? You haven't really thought about it. You haven't really even been osik in the sugya yet. And yet you're going along with the flow. Everybody else is saying Amen. Everybody else is saying, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to say it as well. Yom Brachos teaches you, Rashi and Tosfos are saying, you got to take a step back. You're not allowed to say Amen unless you really know exactly what you're saying Amen to. We will be zocha to never live in Egypt until all moves to Israel. And there will be Amen.
Amen. I like the idea.